Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to again interrupt our current series of studies, our continued programming, to consider an isolated subject which we are going to entitle The Reckoning of Time. At this time of year, we are made very, very much aware of the passage of time. It's not a matter of just tearing a page off the calendar. It's throwing the calendar away and replacing it with a new calendar. And we are made painfully aware that time is passing and time is of the essence. Time really figures largely in our lives. Now, let's talk about the reckoning of time. In the Old Testament days of the Bible, there was no universal central point of reckoning of time. Now, the Jews are very good timekeepers, but it's interesting to note how they reckoned time in the Old Testament. And then we will come to the New Testament, the things that concern us more pertinently as we consider the subject of the reckoning of time. Now, in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 5, time was reckoned or related to the birth and death of persons. Now, let me say that time is always reckoned from some notable event. Well, believe me, for that person, the reckoning of time was a notable event. And in the fifth chapter of Genesis, we have covered in that one chapter the genealogy of Adam clear to the time of Noah. And they lived long times, but the time of that family, at least, was reckoned to perhaps the patriarch of the family, the oldest member of the family. Now, this is seen, actually, in the seventh chapter of Genesis, where the flood, if you please, was reckoned to the lifetime of Noah. We read there in Genesis chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, this was a notable event, but it had to have its reference point in time. What was it? The 600th year of Noah's life. Now, we go on until the next point that I would like to consider was the deliverance of Israel from the land of Egypt, from that bondage. Now, that was a notable event, where they were delivered from the bondage of Egypt and from the tyranny of Pharaoh. And they began their journey to a promised land that God gave to the children of Israel. That was a notable event, and they reckoned time from that event. As a matter of fact, Moses told them, this is the beginning of time for you. This is the beginning month of the year, the beginning year for you people. And they reckoned time for many, many centuries from that point, as we shall see. Now, for instance, in the 33rd chapter of Numbers, and verse 38, we read there, and Aaron the priest went up into the Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the fifth month. Well, now, let's go and carry this a little farther, please, in reference to their deliverance from Egypt. And listen, please, to this verse. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, and in the month of Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. 480 years. Now, here was a reference of time, the deliverance from Egypt. But how far did that go? I cannot say. But I do know this, that later in the book of Amos, a different reference point was used. It's almost humorous. I'll read it. The first verse of the book of Amos reads thusly, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Well, now, that's a way to reckon time, isn't it? 2 years before the earthquake? It must have been quite an earthquake if people were willing to use it as a point of reference and go back and capture time from the past and yet refer it to the earthquake. And that's just what Amos did when he wrote his book, the book of Amos. 2 years before the earthquake, Amos begins to write. And now I think we'll leave the reckoning of time in the Old Testament, and I think that you have recognized by this time that I have not covered the subject completely at all. But we have a more important reference of time in the reckoning of time to consider, and it's more pertinent to our thinking and to our usage. Our time is reckoned from the most important event of all history, the advent of Christ into this world. We call our time A.D. and B.C. and it's from the Anno Domini, from the coming of the Lord, and we indeed go back. On our calendars, we have the year marked in the 1900 years since Christ was here. Now that shows how important a central reference of time can become, and this is indeed universal. Now I recognize the fact that others do use other means of reckoning of time. The Jewish people go right back to the time of Moses with their calendar, with their new year, and with the Passover calendars. They do that. But for purposes of convenience, in our day and age, even Jewish people will use the calendar as we use it. Now, let's talk about the reckoning of the time by years from the date of the most important event in all history, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, I think the cross is the central point of all time, and all eternity for that matter. Two eternities meet at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the most important event of all of the history of man, and I might say also with some temerity, the history of God himself, because I can't be, of course, really qualified to say what God would consider the most important reference in time. I think he considered the cross, wouldn't you? All right, let's just leave that point. The cross of Christ is approached from the Old Testament by three avenues, and I want to consider those avenues, focusing, converging upon the cross, showing the importance of what took place there. I want to talk about typology, I want to talk about prophecy, and I want to talk about the genealogies. Typology points to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for instance, in Exodus chapter 12, the history of Israel was to begin. Moses said, this is going to be beginning of time for you. Now, that was typology. The type of the Passover carries over to your thinking and to my thinking. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Remember what happened at the Passover, please. Moses told the children of Israel to take up a lamb on the 10th day of the month and keep it under observation for 4 days. And on the 14th day of the month, they were to sacrifice that lamb. They were to catch the blood. They were to feed on the lamb. But with a bunch of hyssop, they were to sprinkle the doorposts and the lintel with that blood of that lamb. And when the destroying angel came through the land of Egypt that night, he would pass over the house where that blood was displayed. He would not come in judgment. Now, if they did not sprinkle the doorpost on the lintel, the destroying angel came in and took the firstborn in that house. The children of Israel were protected. but the Egyptians were not. And that point of reference Paul refers to. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now we come forward to the cross of Christ, now over 1900 years ago, and we say there was where our Lamb was sacrificed for us to protect us from judgment. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and we reckon our time from the slaying of our Passover, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 1900 years now. That is the significance of the calendar. I wonder if we realize what it means to look at the calendar and say, that many years ago, there was a wonderful person in this world who loved me to the extent that he died for me on a cross. That is one avenue of approach to the cross. Now we have the prophecies. The prophecies of the Old Testament point forward to the Lord Jesus, even from the third chapter of the book of Genesis. God told Satan, he says there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here is the promised seed. In the third chapter of Genesis, the finger of prophecy points to the cross. Then we read in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Christ of course, the iniquity of us all. The fingers of prophecy point to the cross. The genealogy points to the cross. The genealogy of Luke carries us from the time of Adam to the time of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. And we have there indeed in the third chapter of Luke her genealogy. Now they point to the cross. Now coming from the cross, we have salvation emanating from the cross, spreading out in all its avenues, different avenues of blessing. We have, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we read there that Christ, let's quote John 3:16. I would not want to pass over that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We could quote Genesis, or rather 1 Corinthians 15, but we don't have the time. Peace comes from the cross. We read in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Joy comes from the cross. Peter writes in his first epistle, verse 8, whom having not seen we love, in reference to Christ, of course, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy emanates from the cross. Think of it, Will, when you see the calendar. Think of it, if you will. There was where your Savior died for you, and it's dated to this very time. God help us to remember Christ died for the ungodly. In his name, amen.